The 23rd Sunday after Pentecost, the epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brethren, be imitators of me and mark those who walk after the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is ruin, their God is their belly, their glory is their shame. They mind things of the earth, but our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly await a Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will refashion our body, the body of our lowliness, conforming it to the body of His glory, by exerting the power by which He is also able to subject all things to Himself. So then, my brethren, beloved and longed for, my joy, my crown, stand fast thus in the Lord, beloved. I entreat Evodia and I exhort Syntyche to be of one mind in the Lord. I beseech thee also, my loyal comrade, help them, for they have toiled with me in the gospel, as have Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Please stand for the gospel. At that time, Jesus was speaking to the crowds. Behold, a ruler came up and worshipped him, saying, Lord, my daughter has now just died, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she will return to life. And Jesus arose and followed him, and as he did, and so did his disciples. Now a woman who for 12 years had been suffering from a hemorrhage came up from behind and touched the tassel of his cloak, saying to herself, if I touch his cloak, I shall be saved. And Jesus, turning, seeing her, said, take courage, daughter, thy faith has saved thee. And the woman was restored to health from that moment. Now, when Jesus came into the ruler's house, and he saw the flute players and the crowd making a din, he said, begone, the girl is asleep, not dead. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the crowd had been put out, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this spread throughout all the district. Blessed are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's Gospel, the woman with the hemorrhage, she touches the vestment of our Lord. And our Lord says, it is your faith that has saved thee, or it is your faith by which you were healed. So what faith was that? What exactly was going on there? The woman with the hemorrhage for 12 years was unclean ritually. So it's in the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus. She was unclean, and anyone she touched, she would make unclean till the end of the day. And so what was her faith? Her faith was that Jesus is such a holy man, whether she knows he's the Son of God or not, you know, God made flesh, we don't know, but she recognized that if she touched him, she wouldn't make him unclean. He would make her clean. That was her faith. And that was a great faith, because she lived as basically an outcast for 12 years. So when she touched the tassel, it says the edge of his vestment, she was made clean. Now, that's the literal meaning of this. But there's deeper meanings to Scripture. So on the analogical level, that is, the persons and incidences and things that happen all have a deeper significance. The woman who is hemorrhaging blood for 12 years, blood always represents life. And so that represents being in sin or mortal sin, that your life is leaving because of that. She touches the hem, the fringe of our Lord's vestment. Now, it's very important. St. Matthew tells us she touches the edge. Why is that? Because the Jews would put violet on the edge of their garments in order to remind them of the commandments of God. That they look at it and they would be reminded that they're supposed to keep the commandments of God. So by her touching that represents the fact that you keep the commandments of God. So by touching it, you keep the commandments, and you are preserved from sin. Basically, that's the deeper meaning to this. Why? How? Through the commandments of God. Now, for us, of course, we need to keep the commandments of God. But there are two motivations that are acceptable, that are permitted for keeping the commandments of God. One is based on fear. We keep the commandments, why? Because we fear breaking them. We fear the punishment due to them. So, therefore, if someone's tempted to gossip, they don't gossip. Why? Because they think, well, if I gossip, I got to go to confession. I'll be in mortal sin. I can't receive communion. And so that's a motivation. Any sin, this can be a motivation. Impurity, it's very common these days. Fear of that sin, committing that sin, can be a legitimate motivation. I don't want to do this. Why? Because I'll fall into sin and then go to hell unless I'm repentant. And that's what we call imperfect contrition or attrition. This is the beginning part of the act of contrition. Oh my God, I'm truly sorry for having offended thee. Why? Because of my sins, I deserve the eternal pains of hell. That is a legitimate type of sorrow. However, there is another motivation for keeping the commandments of God. And it is not fear, but it is out of love. We keep the commandments because we love God and love our neighbor. We don't gossip against our neighbor. Why? Because we have love for them. We have patience for them. We overlook their failures. We don't tell other people about their failures unless there's a real need to, like a boss, talking about an employee because of the way they do their job. That's not gossip. But in general, we should be motivated by love, and that love will then keep us from committing the sin. Impurity. We recognize that that gift that has been given to us is not for us to then, use other people to get that pleasure. That it is there for us to give ourselves to the other person and not use the person for our own enjoyment. And that is love. You give yourself. Of course, as the church teaches, only within a marriage is that legitimate. But then within that confines, you're still only give yourself to the other. You don't use the other person, both in and out of marriage, for that pleasure. Or, even look at images, anything like that. Based on love, we keep the Lord's Day holy. Why? Because we love God. Not because it's a mortal sin to do unnecessary labor, unnecessary shopping, or anything like that. But because we should love God and spend this day with friends and family, but centered on the more important things. It's thinking about God, spending time here at Mass, praying, and setting aside a little extra time. Every commandment, our entire life, can be motivated by that fear or by that love. But it's important to remember that as long as we don't do the sin, we're okay. This is why the motivation to keep the commandments is always in the beginning based upon fear. That servile, being punished. But the more perfect is what we say filial fear, that is that fear, that is that love of God. Now, it's easy to understand this in the intellect. Probably everyone here, most people here, have heard the difference between imperfect contrition and perfect contrition, fear and true love or charity. The hard part is not up here in the head, but here in the heart, is to let that come down and actually truly be our motivation for doing things, for living the virtuous life. This is why St. Paul says, be imitators of me, and mark those who walk after the pattern you have in us. He's motivated by love. He says, "So then, brethren, beloved and longed for, my joy, my crown, stand fast thus in the Lord." He's motivated by true love and charity for his neighbor. That's why he went on these perilous journeys to spread the gospel, out of love, not out of fear. And so for us, we're to imitate him and all the saints who are motivated by love. How do we get that motivation? We have to pray for it. Pray for an increase in charity. Pray for that increase of charity to be a true apostle, to be a true follower, I guess I should say, of Christ. To have that divine charity in the heart. So, the commandments of God, keeping the commandments, represented by that fringe on the vestments of the Jews. We keep that in order to be united to God, to go to heaven. And we can have two different motivations for that. The imperfect is fear, and the more perfect is charity. So let us pray for a greater charity, and let that be a motivation. Let that then, by that then, let us imitate the saints and obtain to heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.